Hello, everyone. Welcome to Movement Talks. And today I have the pleasure of being together with Daniel Garcia Sirmans. So, hi, Daniel. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Here in Bergen at home.
Would you mind telling us a bit about yourself so we can understand who you are?
So, yeah, my name is Daniel Mariblanca, and I am from Barcelona. I am 40 years old, and I am a dancer and a choreographer, now living in Bergen, Norway. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much. My first question is, of course, related to your transition. You experienced the world in both moments, before and after the transition. And I'm talking about more about the professional world than the personal world, because I know that also that is a big, big chapter. Would you mind telling us what was your experience concerning facing the professional world before and after your transition?
Before my transition, I was in general working for companies. I think they saw on me a degree of androgynous performer, because I mean I have changed a little bit physically, but I had this haircut all my life, almost like 25 years. I wear more or less the same clothes. Of course, I'm gaining skills with the experience, but yeah, I mean, my experience before the transition was that in some moments was very clear that the rules of a man and a woman were very different. Already starting in the education, men often were more asked to do like more jumps or more lifts, maybe had different presence on the stage, and female, they were asked also for specific qualities, like to be softer, to be lift, to smile, maybe. So yeah, it was very clear for me that already studying the expectations of the movement qualities and talents were a bit binary in this way. And also the clothes were also quite different. So both, I think they were different aesthetically, but also the comfort of the clothes also were different, and what you can do with those clothes also were different. Yeah, in some companies I had to just perform and be professional, even though I didn't really agree with what they were asking me, but I thought that this was also part of my work and I accepted. Even though inside of me was a little bit uncomfortable, and sometimes I was fighting against. But then when I transitioned, I just felt that everything went so, like, was a bit more comfortable. Also, I transitioned already when I was working in Carte Blanche. So in the company in Carte Blanche, that is pretty much like a gender neutral in the way of performing and in terms of clothes. But when I did my transition in the company, I felt like, okay, now I don't have to fight for stupid things like which type of underwear I want to wear. It's just like, give it to me without questioning. And then, of course, after my transition, I began also my company, 71 Bodies. So this was for me when dance and gender identity merged together. So during these 5 years, I had the space to create my own codes and rules and logics and language. So I free myself a lot from these gender requirements and completely like avoid or like remove completely this binary way of understanding people.
So my question is, we will get to also 71 Bodies because it's a great project and company. But my question is also like, then when you transitioned, did you find it difficult to fulfill the expectations as a man, or because you were in carte blanche, which, as you say, it's a company which is already like a bit molded, the roles of the dancer, it was kind of easier. Did you find it difficult to keep up the expectation of you being a man?
Yeah, I mean, in the company, it took me a little bit of time to, because of course, even if it's a flexible company and I was completely embraced, it's true that there are still like dressing rooms for men and for women, and the costumes also, you know, there are cuts for men and for women. But in a way, like, took me like maybe half a year to feel completely comfortable in these new spaces. And also, probably also people needed also time to readjust themselves. Also the showers are binary, so there is showers for men and for women. And before, we also had toilets for men and for women. So we had some segregated spaces inside of the institution, but I think that this segregation is getting like away more and more, because queer people are more and more visible in the company, and I think that people are getting also quite relaxed with these, yeah, old-fashioned ways of dividing people. So there is more awareness. So my expectations, I in the beginning maybe of my transition, I was maybe emphasizing more in like certain degree of masculinity, but very soon I just didn't give a fuck anymore, because I was like, I don't have to prove anything to anyone. And if people believe me or not, is anyway, it's not in my hands. Also, I was wondering, okay, how it will be to audition as a man? So I did an audition in Culver Ballet in Stockholm, because I wanted to try to go to an audition and be openly a trans person. So I did the audition and I got the job. And then, you know, that the institutions have a number of contracts for men and number of contracts for women, because they try to have a balance between men and women. So I say it openly that if they're gonna offer me a contract, should be a contract for men. And they say, yes, it's not a problem. But then I decided to stay in Bergen in Carte Blanche, because at that moment I was building my own projects as well. So I felt like I wanted to go deep into the project in Bergen than to start from zero in another country, another city.
Yeah.
But this was a nice try, because I felt like they were already really open. They already had a transgender choreographer working in the institution. So I felt like they were already quite advanced on this.
And do you think that also proximity, that your presence there, for example, in Carte Blanche, helped them also to get more open towards it? Because I have the feeling that sometimes the fear, because of the unknown or the absence of the proximity towards specific needs also of some of the dancer or employee, keep it far. So therefore, it's more difficult to welcome the change. Do you think that your presence in Carte Blanche kind also was helpful in the openness towards this change?
Yes, I think so, because in the time at least that I have been in the company, I am the only trans person in the institution. So we are 40 people more or less in the institution, and I am the only trans person. And I didn't know any other trans person that has been in the company before. So maybe was a trans person working before, but we don't know.
We don't know. Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know if I can say that I am the first transgender person in this institution, but maybe the first trans person that is visible.
And coming from Spain, so let's make it some sort of parallel, you know, like Mediterranean countries north of Europe. There are clearly differences between the way of accepting this change. It seems, I don't know, it seems that like maybe it's faster in the north than in the south. What do you think? Is it like this, or do you know what do you think you think are the reasons why in Mediterranean countries or in certain countries it's more difficult to embrace this change?
I mean, Spain is a very advanced country in LGBTIQ rights. I mean, Spain was the second country in Europe to approve gay and lesbian marriage. Also, was one of the first countries to allow adoption for couples of the same sex. In Barcelona, for example, there is a huge transgender community. So people are organized, and also there is public service for transgender people that is open for also internationals and provide healthcare without any like paternalistic following. So I think in Barcelona, because I cannot talk about Spain, but I can talk a little bit about Barcelona. I think it's a very progressive and avant-garde city in terms of transgender rights and transgender community. And I think the law is also quite advanced. Here in Norway, I think they make a huge progress in the last maybe 5-10 years. But the progress has been really, really fast in terms of law and also programs for diversity that helps minorities to have more visibility and representation. But when it comes to healthcare, I don't really know which country is best, because here in Norway, I don't use the public health for my treatment. So this is something that I do in Spain, because I know the doctors and I feel well treated. So I can only talk good things about Barcelona. But of course, if you go to a small village in the center of Spain, probably it's a different story.
Yeah.
So I have the feeling that in general, like big cities are a bit more advanced, because the thoughts and the progress goes faster.
And the proximity, as we were saying before, concerning it's tangible, you know, like, I mean, maybe in a small village is it's less open. So as well, like people have less possibility to express themselves, while maybe in big cities, it's more often open. And as well, I mean, I guess like, I mean, it's, being Spain and as well Italy, Catholic countries, and having the very big weight of religion there, it makes everything more complicated, while the northern countries have the more tendency of having a certain degree of individualism and as well of freedom of liberality, which allows certain things, like as well also here in Holland. I would like to ask you about 71 Bodies. Tell us what it is and where the idea came from. Yes, tell us a bit about that, because it's a great project and I think it's very important that everybody knows about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so 71 Bodies is a transgender inclusive dance performance company based in Bergen, Norway. I started the company in 2016 with my first work, 71 Bodies, One Dance. This work was in line with my gender transition. So this work took me 2 years, and I was very focused because it was a very intense moment in my life. So I was really focused on myself because I needed to have my own process, my individual process to understand things, to put pieces together. So I did this solo performance. But of course, one of the reasons that give me like empowerment and courage was to meet a lot of transgender people before. And I wanted to include another transgender voices to show that there are 1,000,000,000 different ways of transitioning, and every transgender person have a very unique journey and way of understanding and living gender. So then I based the work in 71 transgender people across Europe. And I did this in collaboration with film and photography with Ursula Kaufman, that is a filmmaker, and Marcy Yeo, which is the photographer artist. So we for a year and a half, we were traveling across Europe and meeting transgender people, doing interviews, photography. And then we finalized the work with these three big parts, like full exhibition, 71 portraits with text in first person, and also an installation with some video material about different topics, like transitioning, family relationships, art and trans, non-binary identities, etc. And then this solo performance. So then after this work, I was really inspired by all the stories that I met. And then I was thinking, okay, I have a dream, and it's to make a work only with transgender people on the stage. So then this was the second work in first person, where we collaborate live with about 25 transgender people. Also three parts. This project has three different parts. And the last part was stage performance with the last version we did was 11 transgender people on the stage, transgender and non-conforming. And now we are in this moment, we are about to premiere in December, the new work, Normal. And this work is about disabilities, sexuality, and gender identity. Because one of the things that I understood is that in 71 bodies, we put in the center transgender topics, but also we understand that there are communities or bodies that are also experiencing invisibility, experiencing lack of representation or fair representation. And I think that working with people with disabilities is somehow like creating bridges of connection of bodies that doesn't belong to mainstream society. So it's in a way like making visible and talking about personal stories throughout our multidisciplinary art form of bodies that have went through to a very intense physical experience. 71 bodies is about trans, about gender, about identity, and also about people that live in these gray areas, in these margins of,
Are the artists all that are involved from Norway or from the area of Norway, or they live there, or they come also, you gather them also, they come there specifically to work on the project?
We have we work with local people, with national people, and also with international people. I think it's very important to have to include the differences of people, because of course our context matter. It's not the same a trans person that live in a big city, what we talked before, that live in a small village. So these are two very different vital experiences. So I try to invite people that are from different places, have different ages, and also have different professions. So I work with people that I feel in love with their story, and then doesn't matter if they are artists or not. Like, we then create throughout the process a way to translate the story into any type of art form that allowed us to express things.
Can we invite also people that feel the need eventually to reach out to 71 bodies and eventually to, if it's possible, to join the collaboration? Can we say that? Can we, so if people feel like, can they eventually write, reach out to you and tell their stories and eventually see if in the future there are possibilities? Can we do that?
Yeah, definitely. I like to work in a sustainable way. So with some people, I have been working for the last 3 productions, but always I am open to meet new people, because this is the way that we can include more and more complexity.
Yeah, and also expand the community, which is very relevant, and it gives it as well a lot of power, strength, I would say. What do you think? In first person is as well a festival, right? Am I correct?
In first person had 3 parts. One, that it's these 10 live streamings with artistic edited include. It's 10 chapters, and they are available in the website, 71bodies.com. And the second part was the festival. And the festival, we had 8 presenters. And every presenter, they came from academy or activism. So it was like 2.5 days that we were having those lectures and those presentations with after talks, pre-talk, open talk. So it's a way to bring language and also bring concepts and structure into the topics and into the production. And then the third part was this stage performance.
Is the festival planning to happen regularly, or because I think it's also this very interesting that people get to know it, that if it's so they can eventually also get in touch for the possibility of eventually being part of this festival, that would be great as well. I would say
because now we want to premiere normal in December, but in 2023 we will premiere the next piece, which is called A True Story. And A True Story, it's based and inspired and will be performed by transgender youth and transgender parents. So transgender kids and parents that are trans. And together with this premiere, we will have a festival, and the topics of the festival will be all related with family structure. So what creates a family and how the family evolve and transform when there is a member that is trans.
That's beautiful. I really hope I can make it to be there.
Ah, this would be nice. Yeah. 2023.
I will put it in my agenda, definitely. And one just like practical question about, what do you think roughly it should change? I mean, we're talking about the world of performance now and the world of like getting also, of course, jobs, eventually auditioning. What should change also in the way of for the choreographers, in the way of as well, like, to perceive a piece? Because until now, I mean, as you said, as we say, it's always like I need a certain amount of women and a certain amount of men, or should there be a change, and what should be the change, do you think, in the system of also like finding a job for a professional that wants to find a job, to be more inclusive?
Yeah, well, the same way that there is this you know, this code of having equality between men and women. So I will say that it will be nice to open also space for non-binary people, right? Because if you don't identify as a man or as a woman, how the fuck are you gonna get the job as a man or as a woman, you know? So can we include this third gender that can be an umbrella for people that identify as trans, as non-binary? So when you see the advertisement of an audition, okay, we are looking for two women, two men, and two non-binary people.
Yeah.
Or we are looking for all genders.
Yeah.
Or gender is not an important thing to get the job.
Yeah.
But it will be nice to, for example, in the advertisement of an audition, to include more than two genders.
That would be the first step, at least, I would say.
It would be one step, yes. Yeah. And then for me, the second thing that you can do 3,000 million things, but the other thing is that you as a choreographer or anyone as a choreographer aim for qualities, you know, and don't reduce the possibilities of someone because they gender.
Yeah.
You know, like, because being strong and flexible and sexy and whatever is something that all genders can have.
Yeah.
So don't reduce, no, don't discriminate.
Yeah.
Qualities.
And actually, it's an invitation to not be, to not put a limit to the creativity. You know, I mean, because I mean, if you decide only just for women and men, or like female, or that you limit the possibilities of a big creative brains. That because creativity doesn't come from definitely from gender. I have one last question for you. I mean, you seem you're going through a very beautiful, challenging, and great path and also very inclusive and very also important for the society at this moment, in my opinion. Do you have a specific wish for yourself for the future? It's a very difficult question. It can be also like, now is now, I want to eat chicken and fries. But I mean, if you have something that you say, like, you know what, I want to do this, or I want just, mm-hmm. yeah.
I just wanted to continue creating art and quality art and continue meeting beautiful people to create more art. And yeah, I just want to travel the world with 71 bodies and yeah, and make beautiful things, you know.
That's a good goal and project, and I hope like somebody will hear you as well, like by listening to this interview, and they will invite 71 bodies. Mm-hmm. Daniel, I would like to thank you very much for your time and your precious, really precious words. I really hope I can soon meet you and soon also like join and see the work of 71 bodies. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation.
Good luck.
Thank you.